you're down and troubled and you need some love and care, and nothing is going right.
So, have you ever felt that nothing is going right? Well, cheer up. From Los Angeles, the big LA, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous worldwide blog talk radio network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very, very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. We have a very different show planned for you today and an exciting show. John Rivnak. He's an architect, and he specializes in aging environments. That's a code word for senior living. And also ADH regulation, stuff like that. But basically, he's the guy who can design and plan a living environment for caregivers to make your life so much easier for your particular loved one's disability. How's that? So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. I'm your host today, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every kind. And the one thing you know about caregiving is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial, and they are very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Yeah. So, folks, learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember, every time you board a plane, you tune them out when they tell you that if there's an emergency and the mask falls out of the ceiling, if the oxygen level goes down, put your mask on first before you help your child with their mask. And the reason is because they know that you will most likely black out if you don't put your needs above theirs. And then you won't be of any help to anybody. And guess what? Caregivers are exactly the same way. Well, we also normally talk about grief and loss here. Probably not today. But the devastating effects that it can have on us is devastating. It automatically throws us into this thing called the grief process. Ouch. Unfortunately, folks, there is only one way out of the grief process, and guess how? That is to go through the grief process. You can't go up, over, around, under. You got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, you can learn more about me and the show and my radio podcast and my books and my videos, my blog. Yes, I know it sounds like it's all about me, but it's not. It's all about you. Just go to my website, davenass.com. That's Dave, and then the first four letters of my last name, N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, Nass, davenass.com. And the actual name of our show also works, Dave, the caregiver's caregiver.com. So go to my website and take my free quiz. This is so awesome. You can take a quiz that finds out if you're a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, gosh, I'm going to send you a copy of my free book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, that is still getting rave reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. They're selling it for almost $10, so it's a great value, and you're getting it free, and you're going to find out if you're a candidate for burnout. So, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that, folks. Come on. So don't miss out. Very informative quiz. It'll assess where you are in the burnout process. Get my free book just for doing that. So I want to take this moment to thank last week's guest, Sharon Uloff. She was talking about caregiver burnout and the grief process. Hey, to hear this powerful interview, just go to davenass.com, find the podcast, or go to iTunes under Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. All right, enough of that. I'm going to unmute my guest now, John Rivnak. John, are you there?
I am here, Dave. This exciting intro. I really love the Carole King music. You know, when you're down,
me too.
In trouble. That was
me too. Maybe we can sing it together a little later on in the show. Duet. I'll do low part. You do the high part. I love her. Anyway.
You have a great memory. It's just short.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So thank you so much for patiently sitting through all of the introduction stuff for our first-time listeners. John, like I said, is an architect who specializes in aging environments, or in other words, senior living. And we've got a lot to talk about today. John isn't necessarily a caregiver, although he has done some caregiving to caregivers at hand's length, so he's not unfamiliar with the topic. But today we're going to talk about all of your questions that you might have about your living space and your living environment and how to make caregiving not so hard. I was watching that show a while back, Little People, Big World, and life was really hard for them because they were all short people. And then they had a contractor come in, and they lowered everything. They lowered their counters. They lowered their chairs. They lowered the stove and everything. And that's kind of the stuff that you would have done, right, John, for little people?
I have actually designed a home for an elderly lady who happened to be a midget, and it was absolutely a fascinating study in ergonomics that we were able to do a lot for her.
I'm laughing because you said the non-political term midget. They don't like that word, John.
I know.
You have to
say little
people. Okay, I'm sure they forgive you.
She used that word, but it's probably because she was older and, yeah. So anyway.
Well, I guess that's okay. Anyway, moving on. That's a little too much information. Sorry about that. What is your personal experience as a caregiver? Let's just get that out of the way.
Well, certainly some short-term caregiving things, as any parent has when you have a bunch of kids who go through different things. You know, I did do some work in the caregiving environment with my parents. Both my parents died of cancers, and towards the end, we did get some hospice help to come in and help. And I will say that hospice caregivers are absolute angels on earth.
Amazing
people.
They are.
And then the other experiences have really been, as you mentioned, kind of a second-generation caregiver's caregiver, where I'm supporting others who are caregivers, whether they be caregivers in their home or their professionals who are nurses, psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors, who are working with others needing care and creating environments that help them do that. I'm actually reminded of a famous quote by Winston Churchill. He says that we shape our buildings, and then our buildings shape us. So as we shape an environment for caregiving, that caregiving environment can shape you as a caregiver's experience and how it shapes you, and I believe can help you, among other things, avoid burnout because we can make your life a lot easier.
Oh, yeah. Way to go. Yeah, absolutely. It must be very rewarding for you to change people's environments and then see the benefits afterwards, huh?
It really is, especially if you do a major update of a person's individual home. For example, recently did a home for a person who's wheelchair-bound with MS. The husband, the wife is the caregiver, and we did a lot of things in that home. They did not want to move because that was home, that was nostalgia, that was their view, that was their everything. We did a number of things. When that was done, the home adapted to the person instead of the person adapting to the home, which is an entirely different experience, a total gestalt shift for everyone there. So when people came to visit in the home, and he wanted, for example, to be able to go out in the back and fix something on the grill and have some adult beverages with his friends, in the past, he had to go in and around over and things, had to have people help him get from point A to point B.
Uh-huh.
Now it was all smooth transitions for him, for his wife. She didn't have to be helping him in and out of doors that were awkward and ramps that were awkward.
Right.
So it was terrific. Oh, one other thing on that particular home, it was started out as a tri-level. It stayed a tri-level. So we actually added an elevator. And in the discussions, part of it was, well, you know, we should hide the elevator behind a closet. And I go, why? I mean, when your kids and grandkids come here, they know you live in a wheelchair. This is not a surprise.
Yeah.
How about let's celebrate this elevator because you live on a property that overlooks a lake. It's a beautiful view. Mm. So we did a little glass exterior to the elevator so that when the kids came there, they would just play with, this was a toy. And I said, how about we create this, that this is a magnet for the grandkids. And that was sold. So it was terrific. So it can even impact positively the experience for kids.
Wow, you're getting me excited here, John. I'm as you're talking, I'm thinking of things. Wow, you know, I could do this to my house. I could do this to my, because my wife, you know, is in a wheelchair also. She had a stroke 19 years ago, and she's a very, very positive person. And I like to think that our house is functional now, but it can always be more functional. Elevator would be awesome. We go visit our daughter in Ventura, and she's got these long stairs, and my wife has to get out of her chair, and only half her body works, so she's got to, like, pull herself up one step at a time, and it's just so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking one day I might be able to afford one of those things that just go straight up the stairs. What do they call those? You, like, sit in it, and it just it has a track.
Yeah, those chairlift things, they're pricey. Now, if you do look at that, when you get to that point, also look at elevators. They come in a whole lot of different flavors, and some of them are the same or sometimes less cost than those things that cause you to lose a big chunk of your stairwell.
So elevators sometimes could be cheaper than those things, huh?
They can. I would also advise you, again, with this type of thing, consult your physician and your accountant, because this is part of your caregiving expenses and can be all deductible.
Tax deductible, too? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
People, are you listening to this? This is awesome. Let me go on. I guess this gives people a lot more freedom and dignity, independence, choice. Right? You're changing people's lives, aren't you?
I believe so. And those words of freedom, dignity, independence, and choice, that's the goal that I have in designing things. And while that sounds a little bit ephemeral, it is a goal nonetheless. And the challenge that I have as an architect is, what can I do with the environment that answers the challenges of freedom, dignity, independence, and choice.
Mm-hmm.
The person cared for and the caregiver still need freedom to move about their home and their community as much as possible with as high dignity as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And have the ability to make as many of their own choices as they can possibly make. And whether that is, well, you know what, I would just as soon cut the vegetables for my own salad, but I can't get to there from here. Well, what if we make a wheelchair height counter and open underneath and put a cutting board there? Yeah, now you have the choice to make dinner and participate in that. And so you just maintain as many of those life choices as possible. If, whether or not we exercise those, especially for those who are being cared for, to know that they have the choice of preparing their own meals or not, they may have the choice of driving a vehicle or not. Even if they don't take those choices, having the choice there is a critical thing for mental health.
Oh yeah, driving is a big thing. You got me thinking about my wife now. She's a gourmet cook. She cooks a lot, and every time she has to cut things on the counter, she has to stand up in her wheelchair, which is difficult, but she does it. And she cuts that way because sitting down, she's too low. Also, it would be great if there was a lower counter, but there also has to be nothing under the counter because she has to get close enough to the counter with her wheelchair because, you know, your feet are there in the way and stuff. And you would figure all that out, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. We've even done things for people who are in wheelchairs and absolutely love gardening. And we've done tiered garden things where
how do you do that?
Wheelchair goes. Well, for example, did one that was a big round thing, and so if you can imagine a pillar in the middle and then this plate, large plate that comes out of it, and then it slopes upward, and there's a little fountain that they could turn on to water their plants.
Mm-hmm.
But from a wheelchair, you could get your knees underneath this large plate-like type of thing and reach everything to do your gardening. And so you were able to do vegetables over here. You could do your hyacinths over there. You could do whatever it was in these little sections around this circular garden.
So they're off the ground.
The whole garden's off the ground. So the first time I did that was at a nursing home in Iowa, where you had a whole lot of people that grew up in an ag culture, and they still wanted to get their hands dirty planting things. And what was really interesting is that large wheelchair-accessible gardening thing, and the residents got very competitive with their flowers and their fruits that they were growing in these things. And it was just a hoot of a time for them, and once again gave them dignity and abilities to, I can compete growing my hyacinths better than your roses or whatever else it is. It was really a lot of fun.
Well, that's the big thing. You know, in the latter years of life, it seems like when we're younger, we got to have fun. And when we got really old, we have to have fun. Things go backwards, don't they? Kids have diapers and old people have diapers, and kids take naps and old people take naps, and kids get cranky and old people get cranky. So it's nice to be able to do something that you're happy with. That if, like you said, if it's gardening, hey, it can make somebody's mood be so much nicer to be around if they're happy doing something they enjoy, like gardening, for example. That's awesome. So you were doing not only homes, you were doing like hospitals, nursing homes, memory care. Touch on that, and then we're going to take a break in about a couple of minutes.
Okay. Yeah, my background has included, as you mentioned, a number of different things. There, in, let's say, for example, in the aging environment, there's a whole litany of care environments that start from adapting your residence for care to assisted living, and before that, independent living, congregate living, assisted living, skilled care, memory care. Each of these things have different design needs because the residents have different needs. Also importantly, when you're talking to caregivers who are listening to this program, the caregiver really needs to be addressed as well. So, for example, in a memory care unit, which is the current lingo for Alzheimer's units, we do some things that allow the caregivers respite from the caregiving. Because, as Dave mentioned earlier, you need to put the oxygen mask on yourself first. Keep yourself healthy. And part of that is making sure that you as a caregiver have a place of refuge from things, so you can maintain your good and positive attitudes.
That's a great idea. Awesome. Well, listen, let's take a break, and we'll get back to this in about a couple of minutes, so don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships. Available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Hear what Lynn Barrington, best-selling author of Daddies and Daughters, published by Simon & Schuster, has to say about it. You think you have it bad? Read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you will be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy Award winner, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch? This book will be an encouragement to anyone who reads it. Charlene just won't let the promises of God go. She's hanging on to her positive, godly attitude, and I look forward to the day when she will receive all that she's believing that God will do for her. In the meantime, she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. Her smile has gotten just as big as it was before her stroke. She's not just a survivor. She's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. I'm glad to know her and her testimony. Read this book. You will be encouraged regardless of what you're going through. So get your copy of One Arm, One Leg, and 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, today on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But if you purchased it from the author's website, Dave and Charlene Nassani will personally autograph your own copy. Just go to DaveNass.com. That's Dave, and then N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, S like Sam.com. DaveNass.com. Oh, and while you're on his website, don't forget to leave your name and email address so that Dave can send you his free report, 10 Mistakes All Caregivers Make That You Shouldn't, just for visiting the site. There are a lot of resources, videos, and links to his radio podcast. Again, DaveNass.com. That's NASS. Now let's rejoin Dave Nassani and his guest on Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Program on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.
And we're back with John Rivnak. Did I say that right, John?
Architect. You did, Dave. Thank you.
Oh, good, good. There's hope for me. Let's talk about landscaping, John, because my mother's in an assisted living place. She has dementia, beginning stages. She gets very confused and very forgetful. She still knows who we are, thank God. But she gets bored easily, and she wants to go to heaven. You know, she figures her time on Earth is done, but I keep telling her, well, not yet, because you're still here. But this place in Glendale, it's on Broadview near Pacific, and it's called, or it's on Broadway near Pacific. It's called Broadview, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And their landscaping is just amazing. And I watch when I go there to visit my mother how the people just really are peaceful in the surroundings. I mean, they've got beautiful yard, and they got turtles walking around, they got fountains, they got just they got fish tanks, they got bird cages. I mean, they know how to calm people down. And do you get involved in landscaping at all?
I do. And what some of what you mentioned to do all the way back to some of the early design principles from the Greeks. And
really?
They had, yes, some of their elements were earth, wind, fire, and water, and how one integrates those classical Greek elements into design. So the lush landscape picks up, you know, you can visualize the wind, you're in contact with the earth, there's the watering of the plants, there's maybe fountains or streams and those types of things.
Mm.
And humans get connected to the earth through those elements. So it's very important.
Wow.
in the landscape to be able to do that, and also to bring those elements of landscape to the interior. You happen to
yeah.
be in an area where it's probably nice all year round. I'm talking to you from
mm-hmm.
Chicago, where it's 20 degrees out. And so we do a lot of things with fireplaces, with fountains, with water as a background noise. All those types of things tend to calm our spirits, because those things humans have experienced since we were put on this planet. And so, yes, landscape is a very important thing. There's also some very nice things that can be done with landscaping for those who do suffer with some memory impairment. Oftentimes they may have a tendency to wander and not know they are wandering.
That's right.
And it becomes incumbent upon the caregiver to make sure they don't wander away and get lost.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times that the solution to that is a fence. Well, a fence is a visual barrier that kind of cuts you off from some of nature and is maybe not the most friendly thing to do. So instead, what you might do around your yard or an area that you don't want someone to wander away is we'll plant just a low boxwood hedge. It's a plant.
That's a good idea.
You can see over it and everything else, and it looks part of the landscape. But
mm-hmm.
if you happen to want to wander through it, it's kind of a sharp plant. And it will
right.
get your attention. You go, I don't really think I want to wander through this. It kind of feels like thorns on a rose bush.
Yep.
it's a softer way of creating a barrier without it looking like a fence.
John, you really are an expert. You know your stuff, don't you? I noticed in my mother's place, they have a tree growing in the hallway. And it kind of goes up. There's a hole in the ceiling, and it goes up, and it's a very high skylight. I mean, it just looks so nice. And I do notice water trickling down. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's just all this peaceful, relaxing stuff to help people. Because a lot of these people, I mean, the lights are on and nobody's home. They're gone, you know, in their mind. And yet
right.
you see a lot of these people who you cannot communicate with anymore, and they have to be fed and everything. They're just sitting looking out at the yard and the fountain, and there you can tell there's a peaceful look on their face. And that's all they're relating to now is nature. They've stopped relating to man, and it's very, very important.
It is. We also have aviaries that we use in a number of senior settings, which you can also do in your home with just a parrot in a cage. And just observing, whether it's fish in a fish tank, birds in an aviary that's indoors, the observation of life and motion and movement and the activity is certainly a lot better than watching the paint dry since the paint's been dry for 10 years.
You're funny. Excellent. So let's move on. What are some of the obstacles or barriers that impair caregiving? I know you've touched on some of these.
Well, yeah, there's a number of those. I think, we did touch a little bit about the wandering thing. There's some of the challenges are injuries. We want to make sure someone doesn't get injured as they are ambulating about their home or wherever they may be, whether that's, the corners that are in the way, the sharp edges on things, the bumps in the floors, the challenges of getting to bathing things, whether it be the bathing unit or those types of things. Other challenges are boredom. Security. What if I, as the caregiver, I need to go to the grocery store? I want to make sure, whoever I'm caring for is okay, they're secure, they're not going to hurt themselves in any way. Even little things like the stoves, where we'll make sure that the stove has the operating buttons that turns your stove on in the front rather than the back, because people, especially women who might be wearing a baggy sleeve or something that we would reach over, not thinking, and the sleeve catches fire. Again, because we're just not as sharp as we used to be 10 years ago, any of us.
Hey, speak for yourself.
For me, I'm not as sharp as I was. So
no, I'm right there with you.
Other elements, well, it's interesting. I started designing for the elderly when I was in my 20s, actually did my master's thesis in that.
Really?
And now I am in my 60s, and I am designing for me. And it's been a really interesting thing when all of a sudden I realized I am the resident I am designing for.
Back in those days, I'm sorry for interrupting, but back in those days, handicap stuff was not even done. I mean, there was no awareness of it. There was no...
The ADA.
Right? Oh, ADA.
ADA.
Right.
Yeah,
so in those days, as they say in those days, it wasn't cool to be disabled back in those days. And you were studying it, huh?
Yeah, I had chosen that. A little aside here, if I've got a moment. The reason I got interested in that was observing my two sets of grandparents growing older. The one set of grandparents, as a kid observing them, I would say that they were always old. They eventually, when they died old. And my other grandparents, they aged chronologically, but they never got old. The difference here.
Yeah.
There's grandparents that are really young, and they're the same age as my grandparents who are really old. That's what triggered me to study aging and all of its impacts. One of the things that's fascinating, and it also has to do with burnout as a caregiver, is that our happiness, our youth, our ability to handle things, as I discovered it, is in great degree a choice. Mm-hmm. And I just observed that one set of grandparents chose not to age and to ignore the handicaps that they grew with. And the others, they were probably old when they were 16. So it was just really, really, really fascinating. So that's what kind of triggered me. And it does get into a lot of the psychology of aging and things, which we're not really discussing here. We're looking more at the environment for aging, but that's certainly a big part of how one studies this. Also professor of architecture and teaching students, I explained to them that the only difference between architecture and sculpture is the psychological component, because we're designing spaces that are sculpture, but they deal with human behavior. And so I encourage them to take lots of psych classes so that they understand those for whom they are designing.
Well, that's a good idea. Well, let me ask you, John, what are little things that can be done that the homeowner or the caregiver can do themselves? I mean, just little things like maybe the height of outlets or switches or I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think within your home there's a lot of little things that can be done. One of the things that's, I think, one of the easier things to do is when you replace your floors, do not use any carpet pad. People think, oh, the thicker my pad is, the cushier my carpet is, the more luxurious my floor must be. Not so. It's much better if you just eliminate the pad. You save yourself some money, and it's much easier for balance if you have a little bit of imbalance, your Parkinson's, your early MS, any of those types of things. Also much easier for those with walkers or wheelchairs, any of those types of things, to have a harder carpet floor. Necessarily advocating that all your floors should be hardwood floors or tile or something, because that becomes an acoustic nightmare. And tile floors, again, can be wonderful or they can be problematic. Think about the joints and the ability to trip you up over those joints. The other small things that can be done, lighting. Lighting can create all kinds of environments. So you just replacing your switches with dimmers is a real inexpensive thing to do that you can control the environment and the brightness of the environment and the comfort level that has depending on anyone's given mood or the time of the day. Again, with the varying forms of dementia, they sometimes do not have an awareness of what they call a circadian clock operating in their brain, and they're unaware of whether this is day or night. So the ability to control the lighting gives them cues to say, "Oh, this must be nighttime. Otherwise I don't have any cues to suggest it for me." Other real simple things. That if a person is, again, suffering dementia, you could have a silly picture of a cat, sitting on a toilet tank or something on a poster. But you put that poster on the door to the bathroom, and that's how they are aware that that's the door to the bathroom. Other than that, they've got no clue. So that's something that – those are things that are relatively easy to do if you're – if you want to go, the next step would be being able to reach things. So if I'm living in a wheelchair, I want to be able to reach the outlet, so put them higher. I want to be able to reach the light switches, put them a little bit lower. So there's a few things that are fairly easy to do. And I would frankly recommend any of you who are listening to this, who are caregivers of those who might be challenged with their ability to move about, and they're in a wheelchair, live in a wheelchair for a couple of days yourself and experience it. I genuinely mean this because it will open your eyes to challenges that you may not be aware of, even though you've cared for this person for some time.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. Even just to teach the caregiver more compassion and empathy. I mean, my wife cannot speak. She lost her ability to speak. And so for 24 hours, I was going to put duct tape over my mouth just to see what it's like not be able to speak. I had to rip it off in 20 minutes. I couldn't handle it. So I have a little more empathy for my wife now, but you're absolutely right. And I have been riding in her wheelchair as well. She has a power wheelchair, mostly because it's fun. And the grandkids, I can't get them out of them. But, good point. And about what you said about the internal clock, my mother was really bad with that. She would always call us up. She'd say, "Is it daytime? Is it not?" I'd get calls at 3 o'clock in the morning when it was still black outside. She goes, "Does it mean it's nighttime if there's light outside or there's no light outside?" I mean, she was that bad, and she couldn't read clocks anymore.
Right.
She never knew if it was daytime or nighttime. So I can see how that would really help.
Another small thing that can be done, and I hope I pronounced this word properly, it's antimicrobial or antimicrobial. It's
I think it's the first.
M-I-C-R-O, antimicrobial?
microbial.
Anyway, there's a lot of things that you can buy that have that type of a surface. What it is, if you were to look at those surfaces under a microscope, it looks like tiny jagged edges of broken glass.
Really?
So what it does is a microbe will land on that surface and actually be punctured by those really finite little sharp things. And
really?
That's what kills a lot of the microbes or that could be pathogenics for your health. So again, if I want to keep a clean environment, antimicrobial surfaces or air purifying systems, all those types of things are really helpful and really not getting into any kind of big dollars.
Now, I'm glad you brought up air purifiers because my mother always had one, and her home kind of smelled weird. Are there settings on it? Can you make the environment too clean where you're taking out stuff that needs to be there? What is that smell that we smell sometimes?
Depending on the air cleaner that it is, and if somebody wants to contact me after the program, I'll happy to give them the names of some of the manufacturers that I recommend. Mm-hmm. Some of them have ozone as part of what kills things. And people go, oh, ozone, no, that's terrible. Well, every light bulb gives off ozone. So don't panic about the word ozone. But if there are settings on the air purifier, it's usually to adjust the amount of ozone that the piece of equipment generates. So if you don't need much of it at all, if the times that you might need it would be, if you burnt something that smelled terrible on the stove, you can crank it up and the odors will disappear like instantly. But that's a very short term thing. So
we're actually smelling ozone.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, it's time for another break, John. So don't go away, everybody. We will be back in a couple of minutes and we'll continue talking about this amazing, very interesting subject. Thank you.
Tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver program every Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities so that you take care of yourself first, so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you to take care of them. And Dave Nassani should know. He's been a caregiver to his wife for over 19 years. After she suffered a debilitating stroke that left her severely speech-impaired and paralyzed on her right side. After a 2-year grieving period, she came to the realization that she had to play the cards that she was dealt. And so she decided to reinvent herself and attempt to do all the things that she was famous for doing before her stroke, like gourmet cooking, hosting dinner parties for 12, interior decorating, sewing, and too many other hobbies and activities to mention here. She now basically makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers by continuing to do almost everything she did before her stroke. But in essence, she does it with one arm and one leg tied behind her back, and she might as well have duct tape over her mouth too, since she can't speak. And she does it all with her amazing positive attitude and smile. So what's your excuse for not playing the cards that you were dealt and turning those lemons into lemonade? Dave has been so inspired by Charlene's attitude that it inspired him to reach out to caregivers by writing 3 books and starting this radio program to make sure that caregivers have a place to go to get the support that they need in order to avoid burnout and to get through the grief process. Now get ready to learn how you can avoid burnout and survive grief. It's Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. And here again is your host, Dave Nassani.
And we are back with John Rivnak, architect for caregivers and their loved ones. And this is an amazing interview. We have about 20 minutes left, John, and I wanted you to take the last 5 minutes and talk about this vision that you shared with me. But in the meantime, what are some of the bigger things that can be done? You spoke about some of the smaller things that people can do, like, you know, air conditioning. Talk about that.
Okay. Some of the big things you can do is look at replacing the heating, ventilating, and air conditioning systems in your home, because either as we age or just for health purposes, there are very sophisticated, very energy-efficient systems available now that will create almost a dust-free environment, electrostatic filtering, all kinds of. So, for example, I did that in my mother's home as she was aging and unable to clean her home, but she wanted to. We put in electrostatic filtering on her furnace, and she would call me. She says, well, I got down to dusting every week, and then every 2 weeks, and every 3 weeks, and there's still no dust.
Really? Was, so the dust actually disappears, huh?
Correct. There are things like that that can make life easier for a person who wants to be able to care for their home, make it easier for them. Some other part of that is being able to create a proper ambient humidity, because all of us, as we age, or if we're not moving about as much, we become much more sensitive and our membranes become more sensitive to very dry air. If we can keep the air at a decent humidity, it's much easier on our eyes, on our throats, on all of our breathing apparatus. So that's one of the bigger things we can do. And again, that can be tax deductible. Talk to your accountant and your physician.
And if we do that, we don't have to move to Florida with all those other older people, right?
Well, there you go. And
over out here, everybody moves to Palm Springs, though, and it's so dry out there. All those old people, how do they deal with no humidity in that dry climate?
Well, it's interesting. The building codes vary by state, and some states actually require certain levels of humidification because they're actually concerned about our health. Other states just say you just have to be able to heat and cool and you're done. In areas that don't have those types of requirements, it doesn't mean that those aren't great ideas, especially if you're in the Palm Springs, Palm Desert area. You definitely need to be looking at humidification. You'll sleep better. You don't wake up in the middle of the night. You can't swallow because your throat's too dry.
Yeah.
And you can't get out of bed. You don't wake up the other person. You just don't even have the problem. Fix it. So those are some of the bigger things one can do. If you live in a home with a lot of steps, another big thing you can do is call your friendly neighborhood architect and have them design you a home that is intentionally designed for you and whatever you might need.
Yeah. Let's talk about ADA, John, because I know a lot of contractors who don't like that. They think it's a pain in the neck and it causes them to have problems with construction and inspections and all of that. What's your take on ADA? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Well, first of all, ADA, American with Disabilities Act, is not a building code. It is a civil rights law. And it has a lot of different flavors because of that. So the ADA is written such that either the building needs to accommodate such things as if you have steps, you either have to have a ramp or have to have an elevator, or because it's not a building code, you can have a really strong guy pick you up and carry you up the steps. That still meets the law.
Like the bouncer in the bar, huh?
Exactly. You know, the great big guy with the tattoos works there and he carries people up and down the steps and meets the law. And I think of contractors complaining about it and some building owners complaining about it is somewhat unfortunate, because we frankly should be designing with handicap in mind for everything we do. Just because I might live in a home and I am not handicapped doesn't mean that my friend that's coming over for dinner tonight isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be something that is really just thoughtfulness and consideration, more than something that should be looked at as, oh, this is a necessity and is somehow in my way. Well, in my opinion, there should be no doors that are less than 3 foot doors, 3 foot wide doors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no reason to have a skinnier door ever.
Yeah.
Why even bother with it? So you don't have that problem if you are in a wheelchair working with a walker, or you're absolutely fine getting around. You need to get a chair through the door.
Yeah. So you might be the one who's going to need a chair. I mean, my wife was fine until she was 52, and then all of a sudden she's in a wheelchair. Boom, overnight.
Right. So those are some of the things. ADA is frankly, I think, a good idea. Some of the things are challenging in larger, older buildings to adapt them, because when you're trying to meet ADA, sometimes you are violating building codes and vice versa, and it becomes an arm wrestling match between health departments, building departments, fire departments, ADA requirements, electrical requirements. But that's a world that fortunately none of you need to wrestle with. You just call your friendly architect, and that's what we do.
It's like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing in government.
Exactly. In government, yes.
Well, thank you for that clarification. So you are an architect. What is the definition of an architect? I always wondered. Do you have your own definition?
Well, I do. The literal definition is master builder, because the original architects, people who did the great cathedrals, and throughout Europe and things like that,
the pyramids,
were craftsmen. Right, the pyramids. They were stonemasons. They were stonemasons who expanded themselves into understanding structure, who then expanded themselves into understanding aesthetics, and it kept growing from that. What strangely enough has happened as the architects of the profession abandoned a lot of those roots, and we've created structural engineers, mechanical engineers, civil engineers, plumbing, electrical engineers, contractors. None of those professions existed prior. It was just architect was all the above. But
really?
As things became more complex, all these individual little silos were created, and the architect is still kind of the master designer, if not the master builder, who coordinate all of the various parties, mechanical, electrical, civil, structural, landscape, interiors, construction, legal, real estate, etc., all come under our wing to create an environment that hopefully you don't notice that it was difficult. For me, I think the philosopher said architecture is frozen music. As a musician, I look at being an architect much like being a symphony conductor. I don't necessarily have to be able to play the violin and the trombone. I have to know enough about them to get them to work together to create great music. And when it freezes, it's a building.
Awesome. I like that definition. Now, you have a vision about how things should be in the handicap or the disabled or the caregiving world. Why don't you share that with us?
I actually have two visions that I've been working on. One has to deal with those who might have Alzheimer's or other flavors of dementia. Mm-hmm. And creating a facility that imagine a hub with two wings on it. And the hub or commons area would have all the dining and activity spaces. And let's say the wing to the right has apartment units for the caregiver. And the wing to the left has dwelling units for those who are cared for. So you have a choice of being together all day long or whatever it might be, or not, because there are other professional caregivers who are on staff there who can do this. So if I am the caregiver for a dementia partner, then I have all kinds of support from all my neighbors who are going through the same thing I am, wondering if we're burning out, wondering if we're okay, feeling guilty about, just wanting to go to the grocery store and realizing that we're fine and we have lots of support. And because there's other caregivers there, my partner, spouse, whatever, could be in the other wing, and a couple of us who live in the residential wing can say, you know what, we do need a break. Let's go to a show. Let's go for a cruise for a weekend. Whatever it might be, to maintain our sanity so that we are better caregivers when we get back. So that's one concept I have. The other is
awesome.
It's really strange that most of us physically and mentally age at different rates. So you might have someone whose brain is still 20 years old and their body's given out on them, or vice versa. Their body is strong as a horse and their brain's not not mm-hmm. functioning like it used to. And so for those who are mentally sharp as a tack, you know, they could mentally arm wrestle any 20-year-old, but physically hampered, they have, however, I wanted to create something. I don't have a good name for it right now. I'm calling it the Warrior Nursing Home, because I'm picturing people who have those handicaps but their brains are fine, learning how to be intercessors and praying and having purpose. Maybe they're like Charlene. They can't vocalize things with words, but they can certainly be eloquent in their prayer.
And she's a good prayer.
There you go. And so to have an environment where people realize they get up in the morning, they have an incredible purpose. And just maybe when, you know, the final trumpet blows and we're all sitting there in heaven, we go, well, how did this all work out? And God says, you know how this happened? There's a whole bunch of blue hairs down there who prayed this mm-hmm. all into being. You know, they were the real warriors. They're the ones who do deserve all the credit. And so I have that image of creating an environment of prayer warriors who have a renewed purpose that, well, you know, hey, I'm in my 60s. The chances of me playing pro sports, anything, are gone. However, there's still other things I can do, other things any of us can do. If we find that, and it goes back to my story of my grandparents, if we want to make the choice to make a difference, how can we choose to make a difference? And maybe we can make a planetary, global, community, whatever, difference, as becoming a prayer warrior and saying, well, how do we support people who could do that, because they could get a lot more done than I can, you know, running hard, trying to run a business.
Sure. Well, you sound like a very devout Christian, John. Are you a churchgoer?
I would be. Well, I am a devout Christian. I happen to go to church, but, you know, going to church is kind of like going to a barn will make you a horse, or going to a church will make you a Christian. So I think there's something bigger to it, and I think that if we can help people get connected with God and the purposes and understanding that there's so much power in that. As a caregiver, I'm less likely to burn out. As one cared for, I may find a whole new purpose I never knew was out there.
This vision obviously has come from God, because he cares about the poor and the elderly and the orphan and the widow. And there's mm-hmm. nothing more. I mean, it's interesting how Americans take care of the elderly versus how Asians take care of their elderly. And they're young as well. It's sad. I understand that Asians are starting to become more like Americans in dealing with elderly. I think we taught them some bad stuff.
Yeah, we have. I was actually hired by a group of Japanese to help them study aging environments. And it's a completely new philosophy for them, because prior to very recently, aging was something one did with great dignity in one's home. The respect for age and the wisdom that comes with it and the gray hair that comes with it is a different type of respect than in an Eastern culture than it is a Western culture.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, it's been a joy having you on, John. I had no idea that this interview would be as interesting. I knew it would be interesting, but it far exceeded my expectations. There are things that you spoke about that I had no clue of. And so I am excited that there are things that I can do in my home yet. And I know that our audience is got their wheels in their brain thinking as well of things that they can do. How can somebody contact you if they, you know, have more questions, or maybe they want to hire you to do a job or something? I know you're located in Chicago, but there's ways to get around, isn't there?
No, absolutely. We've done work now in 40 states. So
you get around. You get around. Okay.
We do.
So how do we
contact?
That's
a whole other song we could have. I get around. Okay. Anyway, you can get a hold of me. I'll give you my office phone number, which is 630-770-5900. And we are on Central Time, so think about that. And then also the email address is john@rivnackassociates.com, which I will spell for you. It's john@HRIV, as in victory, NAK, associates.com.
So the H is silent.
The H is silent like it is in my first name, just to be consistent, I guess.
Sure. And your website?
Website is rivnackassociates.com.
Well, that's easy. Well, John, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I know that you've done some people some good by the advice that you've given and just the information that you've given. And tell me again how long you've been in this business, how many jobs you've done. You've been doing this for like 40 years, you said, or what?
Yeah, officially 38 years, but if you count overtime, good God, a long time. And so I started with my master's thesis studying aging and its impact, and ended up getting in the healthcare realm. And so, yeah, 40 states and 40 years, lots of projects of various flavors. Also, like I mentioned, done consulting with the Japanese, with the French. So it's been very, very interesting. I continue to learn things. Trends continue to change. And some of the trends that we find in Europe are different than we find here. The trends and desires of things in California are different than they are in New York.
That's for sure.
So it's a very, very interesting world.
Well, we thank you again. And again, give that email one more time.
john@rivnackassociates.com. HRIVNAKassociates.com.
And give your phone number one more time.
630-770-5900.
Well, thank you again for coming on the show, John. I know you did a lot of good, and you're a really smart guy. And this is not a Johnny-come-lately, folks. This guy really knows his stuff. He's been around the block a few times, and this isn't his first rodeo. Boy, that's like three cliches at once. That must be a record. Well, thank you again for coming on, John.
Well, thank you, Dave, and give Charlene a hug for us.
I will. God bless you, and I will see everybody else next week, same time, same channel. And please don't forget to go to my website, davenass.com. And this show and all our other shows are actually recorded web podcasts after this. So you can actually hear this show again. If you have a friend who needed to hear this, just send them the link. They can go to iTunes as well. Type in Dave, thecaregiverscaregiver.com. And remember, we are on the air every Wednesday at noon Pacific Standard Time. That would be 2 o'clock Central and 3 o'clock Eastern. Pardon me. And then we rebroadcast again on Saturdays at 3:30 Pacific, 5:30 Central, and 6:30 Eastern. Don't forget to take our quiz on our website, Are You a Candidate for Burnout? So that you get my free ebook, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. So until next week, may God richly bless you.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process, right here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.